everyone. Welcome to the Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing. I need a vacation, but otherwise, I'm doing all right.
That makes two of us. I'm ready for a little bit of a break, too. And but the problem is there's not a lot to do yet. So, but you can go camping. How was your, I know you went camping last week. How was your camping weekend?
Oh, it was good. We had four dogs and a bunch of kids. So they were all nice and tired. And so, yeah, that always works out nice for camping.
My sister's loading up her family and going down to Florida and seeing my daughter in Tampa. So she leaves out of here Sunday and we'll be down there and seeing my granddaughter. So it's going to be great, but I'm holding the fort down here. But anyway, we're here to talk about podcasting.
Yeah,
so,
enough of that.
Yeah, but I hope all of you are doing well, staying safe, and welcome to, again, to the Podcast Insider. And we've got some news for you, some best practices. Actually, kind of Mike came up with this because of some things that I noticed when we were, I was, I guess, for a better word, surfing the Ethernets. We've got some blueberry news. We've got an interview, great interview today with York Campbell from Poetic Earthlings. I think you're going to love this interview. And we've got some support stuff, too. Podcasts are up by 26%, according to Edison Research. Yet, some podcast companies say listening's down. And I'm just like, okay, what is it? Is it up or is it down? Is it even? Where are we at?
You know, it's weird. You know, it's certain places say it's more. Some say it's less. And now what's weird here is this podcasts are up by 26% in the headline. But now that I click into it, it says listening to audio at home in the U.S. increases by 44. So I have to dig into the report. So specifically podcasts are up 26 over, you know, on quarter one here. But yeah, it's strange. It just depends, I think, on, you know, the type of podcast that you're tracking as well. You know, like news podcasts are probably up, sports podcasts are probably down, and you know, it's different across the board by genre, and you know, different companies have a different mix of podcasts that they track, so of course they're going to have different results.
Yeah, this is good information from Edison Research, and so good. So SiriusXM, kind of interesting what happened here. SiriusXM, Pandora. Of course, SiriusXM and Pandora had already bought AdsWiz. Then they've bought Simplecast. So now we've got another podcast hosting provider that has been rolled up. Right. And so it's an interesting play. We'll have to see what they announce here soon. But congratulations, Simplecast team. I don't think they ever took any venture capital. So those guys may be made out all right on this acquisition. So good for them. Of course, you know, it was interesting. I was watching the buzz on social yesterday, and it was almost crickets. No one really kind of talked about it. So I don't know why. I think if we had an acquisition like that, Mike, that the phone lines, the social, we probably would still be answering the phone, but it was pretty quiet yesterday on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Simplecast, you know, it's a hosting company that does a lot of what we do, you know, same sort of thing, same sort of mix of products. But you know, they're not as, how should I say it? Talked about like, you know, Libsyn, Blueberry, us, you know, we're talked about more in the, you know, amongst podcasters, because we've been around a while. Simplecast is not quite as old a company, and so maybe that's why it's not a big deal, or you know, in the social world. But yeah, it's a good deal for them for sure.
Yeah. So again, congratulations to the Simplecast team and for their acquisition, and good luck on the next stage of things, I guess. So I was going to talk a little bit also about the Peabody Awards. For podcast, and let's see if I can put this actually for those of you listening or watching the show today, for podcast have won Peabody Awards, and it includes the winners include WNYC Studio Dolly Parton's America, Montana's Public Radio Threshold, The Refuge, APM Reports In the Dark, and it won its second Peabody, and I think The last one was BBC Sounds. Have you heard George's podcast? So, you know, how, I guess to win a Peabody, you have to apply to win a Peabody. I don't even know.
Yeah,
how
I think, you know, it's one of those pay to play things, you know, you, or maybe not, but you have to be nominated by somebody. And yeah, that's good on them. Peabody's pretty prestigious in the, you know, in the media world. And it's pretty cool that they're including some podcasts here and there.
Some mainstream stuff. We need to get some of these indie podcasters into some of these big awards. And I think a lot of times too, it really revolves around who you have, not promoting you, but lobbying for you. I think a lot of these awards are kind of surrounded some of that. Again, I don't know the full,
Matters who your fans are.
That's right. For sure. But you can win a podcast award. If you go over to podcastawards.com, the nominations start on July 1st. You got to be registered. Full disclaimer, I run the podcast awards. It's completely separate from Blueberry. And but yeah, get over there and get registered. Nominations, again, start July 1st for the podcast awards.
And you can't nominate us, darn it.
That's right. we are non and non-eligible, I guess, for a better word. So Patreon starts collecting sales tax. That shouldn't come as a surprise.
Yeah, it's, you know, they haven't been traditionally, but starting July 1st, they're going to be collecting sales tax from the contributors, not from you as a podcaster or a creator on Patreon. Now that may cut down on some of your, you know, donations, but, you know, say I donate $5 a month to a podcast via Patreon. Now I'm going to be paying Michigan 6% sales tax or whatever sales tax in your jurisdiction.
It's interesting that they're paying sales tax on donations, which it essentially is.
Yeah, well, you know, most of the creators are not nonprofits, so it's probably really not deductible in the traditional way. So I guess maybe sales tax isn't either. I don't know a lot about sales tax. So.
I get donations for my personal show and I pay taxes on those donations, but I don't charge sales tax on those donations. So I hope this is not something we're all going to have to start doing. It is an interesting dilemma. Maybe we'll have to read up on it. But again, I've always said that having a PayPal link or having one of these Venmos or something like that on your own website is why pay someone else a percentage of a percentage and then, you know, collect it yourself 100% and you get it instantly. So I've had a PayPal link on my personal website since really the early days. And little by little, people do donate, sign up for monthly donation plans. So.
And you do pay a little bit to PayPal for that, that privilege, but but that's it. You know, I use one called Buy Me a Coffee, which is kind of the light version of Patreon. So it's kind of neat. You can just sign up for a, you know, monthly donation or a one-time thing, very much like PayPal.
Yeah. So Mike, I know you're a super fan of Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, she's my favorite.
So Kim Kardashian has Kim Kardashian West, has signed a deal with Spotify. What did they pay for that?
Yeah, it doesn't say in there yet. I'm sure it will eventually, but you know, similar to what Joe Rogan did, except for Kim doesn't have one already. So she's going to create something from scratch, it sounds like.
Here's the challenge. We've seen a lot of big name celebrities have come into podcasting. And if you look at the shows that have come on Podcast One because they have a lot of high end celebrities over there, they often do not make it. They don't, you know, their persona that is highly produced. Well, maybe she's going to have a highly produced podcast. I would expect, but some of those celebrities do not translate well into actual podcasts, but you know, she's got a big enough fan base. I'm sure that the percentage of people that love her and love her content and you know, the things she does in the entertainment business is probably enough to you know, have a very successful show that most of us would die for. So we'll see. And again, I guess it's their expectation of success. You know, will she get mad if she doesn't have a million people you know, listening to the show. If it's 50,000, we're all, you know, all of us would be doing backflips for our printless shows.
You know, I know Podcast One sort of focuses on celebrity casts, and a lot of them over there, they start and they stop. And mm-hmm. it's not because the podcast is terrible or it's not successful by, say, our standards of podcast success. It's just they're, you know, a lot of these celebrities are used to, you know, they go on a, you know, they do a TV show and it's several million viewers on a TV show. And if they get, you know, several thousand, which is great for a podcast, that seems puny to them. And, you know, they don't see why, you know, why they should keep doing it. And then you got people like Conan who, you know, makes probably more money on his podcast now than he does on TV.
Oh, I don't know about that. That'd be a,
well, close.
That's a big statement. Wow.
It's got to be close.
That's interesting because he, I think he gets some pretty big bucks for his evening show. So, hey, so for those of you listening live, and there's a few of you on today, the Podcast Academy is having a webinar today at 12 noon. So if you're listening to the show later, you have missed it. But if you go over to thepodcastacademy.com, you probably get the webinar in replay. They're going to just do a Q&A. But the registration is going to open for podcasters at thepodcastacademy.com in, I think, next week or maybe tomorrow.
It's the 22nd, I believe.
Or 22nd. Yeah. So, but there is a webinar today at 12 noon and 3 p.m. Eastern. So, again, if you're watching, you want to watch the webinar for the Podcast Academy, you've got something to do in about, 45 minutes because we're recording this at 11 a.m. Eastern. So, anyway, but hey, Twitter, voice memos now, Mike. You can do a 140-second voice memo on Twitter.
Yeah, does that sound familiar at all?
Just a little, but most people that haven't been around in the space for a long time have no, probably have no idea what you're referencing to.
Yeah, well, there was several little services out there for like Twitter for audio, which, you know, is what a lot of them were calling themselves. You know, like everybody tries to call themselves the Netflix of whatever. Well, back in the day, Audio Boo, which is the precursor of Audio Boom, that's what they did.
Yeah.
So you had a, I want to say it was a 2 minute or 3 minute. It was longer than 140 seconds, I believe.
But what Twitter's going to do is if you go beyond 140 seconds, it's going to be multiple tweets.
Ah, that's so a good idea.
They're going to break it up, but you still are going to have to, because it'll be oldest, you're going to end up in the, you're going to have to find the start of the chain. So I think you keep it 140 seconds, but you know, it might be a great way to promote your show as in, you know, just using an audio tweet. So
sure. And like I said, I remember Audio Boo when it first started, it was an app, and Leo Laporte actually used it. And when he was on a vacation, I believe in China, and he had access to that while he was in China, and about, you know, two or three times a day, he'd put out a little 2 minute, you know, audio thing, and it was quite interesting. So this might take off again, but it's not a new idea.
No, but anyway, so Twitter may be coming back to their roots, and there's a whole story about Twitter and how Twitter formed and what they did before Twitter that is kind of podcast related, but we won't get into it. All right, let's talk a little bit about best practices. What gear do you need to podcast? And I often see, and what triggered this for me yesterday is I saw someone's, I was on a Facebook group and I saw their gear and I'm like, it looked like someone had ordered a package and I kind of cringed. As podcasters, because most everyone here that's listening to the show are existing podcasters and maybe a few of you are new, there's really just a couple of things you need to get started. If you're brand new in podcasting, just get you, you know, all you got to Google is USB microphone. And there's several of them that are out there. Audio Technica has a great one. And that's basically what you need to get started. But, you know, there's different levels you can go. You know, I'm using an SMB7. Mike, you're using a, is that a Rode or what are you using?
RE20, Electro Voice.
Yeah, so Electro Voice. And, you know, these are very expensive mics, both what Mike and I are using right now. But the difference in quality of audio is minor when you're using a different mic. Now, for years, I was using a microphone that was called a condenser. And you have to have a perfect sound condition to use a condenser. So a decent microphone being dynamic is easier. And all the USB microphones that are out there that I know of, at least, are dynamic.
Now, because they're not Blue Yetis or snowballs.
Yeah. So, you know, you see a lot of people that get started in podcasting, they're using a snowball or a Yeti. Please, please, please. Friends of podcasters, don't allow new podcasters to be recommended a snowball or a Yeti. Unless you really know how to use that mic, don't buy it. There's better options, cheaper options available, again, from a USB standpoint. And really what you need with the USB ones, you just connect it to your computer. Or most of those USB mics also have what's called an XLR plug that can also plug into a recorder. A mixer is not required. I saw in the picture I saw online, the mic, the guy had bought like a $49 mixer. And a $49 mixer, you'll hear, ladies and gentlemen, you'll hear this. It just doesn't have the type of amplifiers in it that you need. Just get a USB mic, plugs into the computer. It's easy. If you upgrade later and you want to buy some better recording gear, like a Rodecaster or something like that, you can do that. But a mixer is not required. And if you have a USB interface and you're podcasting solo, that works out really, really well. Anything to add to that, Mike, on the microphones?
Well, on the microphones, a friend of ours always says, you could get an ATR 2100 for roughly $90, $80, something like that. You can catch them on sale even cheaper. And then, like what I've got, this RE20s, around $450, and I think similar for that SM7B. And, but my sound doesn't sound, $350 better than the ATR by any stretch. It's just cool because this microphone's in about every radio station you walk into. That's what I like it about.
And a lot of podcasters are using my microphone, but the majority of folks are using an $80 microphone, and it's okay. But just don't buy a Blue mic. I love the Blue folks. I've used high-end Blue mics for many, many years. I'm a big fan of their high-end mics. I am not, absolutely, unequivocally not a fan of the Snowball or the Yeti. Now, ways to record, again, directly into your computer. You just plug it in your computer. You can record using basic editing recording software, Audacity, Adobe Audition, Hindenburg. As a matter of fact, Hindenburg integrates directly at Blueberry Podcasting. So you can send your files straight from Hindenburg right to Blueberry. That's a great editing software. There's also portable recorders, as good as long as you have an external mic. Don't record to a portable recorder handheld. You got to have a mic that plugs into it, and that's usually by XLR. But you can get pretty expensive on those external recorders, Mike.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've got a Zoom recorder. That's probably a couple $100 at least. And then, you need an XLR cable and a microphone to plug into it or two or whatever. But it is an awesome setup, and you could use that as your primary.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And, as long as you're in a quiet environment, if not quiet, sometimes people go for ambiance, say you're recording at a conference or something, it kind of sounds cool to have that crowd in the background. So there's nothing wrong with a little extra noise, but for a basic recording like we're doing here, it's best to be, in a quiet environment. And the main thing I always say about equipment, though, is, once you get a decent sound, unless you're a gearhead, don't spend a lot of time, sitting there. I'm a gearhead, so, I'm always tinkering around with the gear and stuff. But I know my go-to setup is going to sound good, and I don't worry about that when it comes to my podcast. When I'm doing a podcast, I worry about doing the actual show and not, if I buy this other microphone, is it going to sound better? If I get this mixer, is it going to sound a little better and all that? Once you get it checked off the list, check it off the list.
Another thing, too, to consider on these portable recorders, I'm a big fan of having a backup. So if you have a portable recorder, you can record into the recorder, and most of those actually have like a monitor out. And you actually, if you have a mic in on your PC, you can actually do a backup recording. You have it recording in the portable recorder, and you can have it recording to your PC at the same time if you want to get super fancy. But the main thing on the portable recorders is try to have that external power supply. Don't go off the batteries if you can help it, because that'll just kill you if you're halfway through and you, all of a sudden the batteries take a dive. And I've seen that before where people lose it. So have that external, buy that little external power supply from Amazon with it and plug it in and have it plugged in as much as you can, or absolutely fresh batteries in it every time you start the recording. You know, it's really, again, once you get that good sound, check it off your list. Now, if you don't want to work on that good sound, we got Blueberry Pro. We got our Blueberry Pro team that can help you out with that sound at blueberrypro.com. So, and I tell you what, everyone that that is using it, it has talked to me in reference to everything they're doing over there, just rave reviews. So make sure you check out Blueberry Pro, all right?
Any of you that were here last week for the live show will know what magic they did if you also listen to the podcast version of it.
Yeah,
absolutely. They really saved our bacon last week.
Yeah, because we had some issues last week that even us, you know, every once in a while something goes sideways. We got some news. We started a new thing. It was announced in our newsletter, I think, that went out Tuesday. I'm not sure what day I think the newsletter went out Tuesday. We're doing a Podcaster of the Month, and Alante Whitmore is our Blueberry Podcaster of the Month. So there's a great write-up on our website about that show, and we want all of you to definitely check it out. Now, if you're a Blueberry customer and you think that your show is deserving of being a Podcaster of the Month, Mackenzie's always taken inputs, but we're kind of looking through we're looking for some of the best podcasts that we love as a podcast company that are using Blueberry services. So we'll be doing this every month, and you should hear Alante in a future interview here on Podcast Insider. But we're excited, and congratulations on Alante for having the podcast of the month. And again, she has a great show, and it's called BLK Plus in Grad School. And she's out of Detroit, so I think you're going to love her podcast. It's going to be nice, or it is nice. So let's talk a little bit about our mobile apps, Mike, that are coming.
Yeah, it's our private internal podcasting that we've been talking about for a while and released recently. Our mobile apps are catching up to us now, so the one on Android's about to go live here any day now, and our iOS app should be through all that process sometime next week.
So if you are curious about the private internal podcasting, we've got a dedicated salesperson that can talk to you and work on your solution for you. If you're a podcaster and you're looking at doing some sort of private internal podcast, basically you're doing a private show for your fan base, we've got a solution for you as well. And the thing that's really, really unique about this app that we're releasing is that it is exclusively for private podcasting. And I think that is the key point here. It doesn't have 5,000 different things in it. We are working on a version 2 of the app that's going into work here in the next couple of days, where we add some more features like notifications and some other things that are going to go into it. We got a MVP, what we call a minimal viable product, out with our first version. And you're going to see us increment up in different offerings with that app as we move forward. But we know that they're really close, and expect a press release about them next week. And again, if you want to do a demo, we've got a demo account where you can actually see how the security works. And again, not implied security, true security, unlike some of the member type offerings that are out there that really does not, your media can be stolen, shared. We locked
security
down.
By obscurity is a lot of those, and this one is truly secure, right down to signing the URLs even. So
I like that, Mike. Security by obscurity. That's some of the other offerings out there, and we don't imply security. I keep saying that. That's very, very important. We don't imply. It is actual true security, and it's a big delta in the offerings out there. So my next segment here, we've got an interview. I interview York Campbell, and it's called Poetic Earthlings. I've subscribed to his show. It's really, really cool. His location, I'm going to leave that a secret before we start the recording, but he is not an American podcaster. He is on another continent, I guess, for the best way to say it. And you definitely want to subscribe to his show. I think he's got a great podcast and lots of cool things to be explored in the Poetic Earthlings. But anyway, here's the interview from York Campbell at poeticearthlings.com. Hey everyone, I want to welcome York Campbell to Podcast Insider. York's a podcaster out of Ottawa, Canada. Of course, York, welcome to Podcast Insider.
Hey, welcome. Hello, everyone. This is York, all the way in the cold city of Ottawa, but it's not too bad right now. Weather's pretty warm.
Yeah, it's nice midsummer. But sometimes summer comes late and short for Ottawa, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the summer months started really, really late for us, but we're doing pretty good over here. Despite of the lockdown situation, everything is fine.
Yeah, and I think we're all kind of adapting to the new normal. But so you know, when I saw the title of your show, I said, this is going to be interesting. So the name of your show is Poetic Earthlings, and what exactly is Poetic Earthlings?
Poetic Earthlings is an audio drama. It's short stories. It's a little bit of an insight of how I view humanity. It's a show that tries to bring people together through short stories, witty dramas as well, and just having a good time. That's pretty much what Poetic Earthlings is about.
So are these stories that are from life experiences, or these that you write, or stories that you collect other places? How do you find the source material?
These are original stories. I find the source material from life experiences, and I put it into science fiction format, fantasy. You name it, it's there. But mostly it's from life experiences. 99% of what I write is original content, and I do have other contributors as well.
So you've been doing the show now for 2 years. You're at 400 episodes. And I guess before we get into all of that, why did you decide to do a podcast? What really was the moment that you said, "I got this. I've got things to say, and I think it would be best in a podcast"?
Well, you know what? This starts way back when I was listening to Art Bell.
That's a name. That's a name not a lot of people know. So that's interesting. No. Okay, go ahead. Yep. Got my attention.
So I was a huge fan of him. I used to listen to him all the time. As you know, he does a lot of conspiracy theories about UFOs and strange beings and objects. And I was fascinated. When I listened to him, he had that persona or that presence where he can make anything interesting. Even if it was just a blade of grass, he will say something to the effect, he says, "Okay, guys, you have to stay right through the commercials, because what I'm about to say to you is going to blow your mind. It's going to shatter everything that you've ever heard about." So I stood through the commercials, waited, and then when I got back, he was just talking about a blade of grass, or he's just talking about a segue or whatever it is. But the way that he presented it was just mind-boggling. So that was my first taste of, I guess, it's not necessarily a podcast back then, but it was just radio. And so I said, I want to do the same thing. And also, it kind of helped that I was writing some of the same material that he was saying on his show.
That's awesome. So that's, you know, I go back,
20 years, and I was living in Hawaii, and I was working in the evening. So it was already, you know, art was on very late at night. So that tells me you're a night owl. And then he would come on like 7 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, and I was working night shift. And we would have a bunch of guys that were working in a shop. And we actually almost had to ban listening to Art Bell because we weren't getting any work done. We'd all stop and listen, and or we didn't go to the airplane and work on the airplane. But no, I've got many friends that told me I've got them completely addicted. So your content is right up my alley. So you basically were motivated by Art Bell, and then you're doing your own stories. So is that really the kicker that said, I want to do this in audio format?
Yeah, that's really the kicker. I mean, my influences are pretty wide. It's pretty wide and far. Originally, I was caught up with the Twilight Zone, Rod Sterling, the original Twilight Zone. And I always said, okay, even when I was a little boy, I used to roll up a pretend cigarette and I used to walk around the corner, kind of like probably freaking people out, pretending I'm Rod Sterling. I was like about 10 or 11 years old. And I used to say, okay, you're about to enter the Twilight Zone. You know, I'll set up a whole situation. Mom and dad are in the kitchen making breakfast. But what they don't realize is that their breakfast is from another dimension of sight and sound. So that was one of my huge influencers. And I said, if I could be like Rod Sterling, then this would be pretty cool. So then from there, I started writing a lot of stories. Like, keep in mind, I was only like 9 or 10 years old, but I started writing a lot of science fiction or supernatural stories. And I guess that was the genesis moment for me.
Wow. Really exciting. You know, I think, I never really had a creative writing streak, but I really am jealous that you're able to portray this and do this on your show. It's quite a talent to be able to do it. So I'm assuming then, I'm just taking a gander here, no guess, it's just you.
It's pretty much a one-man show. Sometimes I get my wife, even though she says, no, I don't want to come on the microphone. And I pull my son into it as well. And I get creative because it's a one man show. And so I change up my voice.
Right.
I do whatever I could do. First of all, it's to entertain me. If I could entertain myself and if I could feel really, really good about it, then I know that I did a good job. So I always have the story in my mind of exactly how I want it to sound and all the characters, but I don't have all of these characters. I don't have a German guy. I don't have a person that speaks French. How am I going to do all of this? but it puts me in a corner and I say, okay, I don't have everyone in place. I don't have a big orchestra with live music. So what am I going to do? And again, it just helps me to get the creative juices flowing and to pull off a show that really is supposed to have 10 or 20 or more people attached to it, but it's just me.
Does your audience ever get lost in the who is who? Or are they able easily to kind of follow it? Are you able to do enough of a break where they can tell there's a change of character even though it's still you?
I think they'll be able to. They haven't complained yet. So I will make my voice sound a little deeper with the Hindenburg,
right?
The Hindenburg Pro, and then I throw myself into the left ear of an older person, and then I throw myself into the right ear of somebody else that's younger. So I play around with the voice as much as I can. And then sometimes I may throw in like a really corny accent. I'm not very good at accents, but sometimes I'll try it anyways and see how it goes.
So when people hear that you've been at this 2 years and you've done 400 episodes, even for me, that's impressive because I was doing 100 episodes a year and 2 episodes a week. And that tells me that you've been pretty busy, but you said you've changed the format up a little bit over the 2 years.
Yeah. So I changed the format. Before, I used to do a show every single day, religiously. Every single day, I was I know, I was doing the show. And my wife said, York, that's crazy. You're going to burn yourself out.
It's true. She was right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't listen. I said, no, I got to do this. This is my calling, you know, and then I just kept on producing. But then I slowly but surely, I say, you know what? This is just, I'm neglecting the family.
Yeah.
You have to remember the family. And so I started to pull back a little bit and I said, okay, I'm going to do one, two shows or three shows a week. Then I started doing that. The shows started to get a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that works. it got a little bit better. There was a little bit more thought involved. And then I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to make the format a little bit longer. I'm going to do it every 2 weeks. And since I made that decision, I got a little bit more creative with the sound design. All right. So there's a whole sound design. There's a whole process involved. And so since I did that, every 2 weeks, I was able to put out an episode that's really, that's quality. Mind you, the episodes are only about 20 minutes long. Before, they were like about a minute or two long. But these ones going forward, I think it's much better. And also it gives my audience a little bit more as well.
You know, I've always told people, and when I heard you say an episode every day, I was like, you know, I think the longest I've ever seen anyone last at a show a day that was highly produced, a new guy that was doing a 20-minute show, it was written, imagine writing 20 minutes a copy every day. It was news, but it's still, he wrote the copy, and he lasted about 3 years before he said, I'm done, you know? And he had
that's
no,
a long time.
It's a long time. He had no team. He's older gentleman, almost retired. So he had extra time on his hands, but same thing as, you know, his significant other started like giving him the sideways look and missing out with the grandchildren and stuff. So yeah, you pick a good pacing that allows you to survive. So now you've got a better product. You feel you have a better product after 2 years. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I do have a better product. It's more focused. And, you know, for me, I go through revisions. And I think a lot of podcasters, if they're really in it for the long haul, they figure out their voice, what they want to communicate. And then they remake themselves. I've remade myself 4 times during my podcast experience. I've gone deeper, gotten a little bit more serious, a little more business-minded. And I started to put together quality product. Now I realized that I wasn't just creating a podcast. This might sound kind of really up in the air, but if you'd bear with me, I realized that this was something a little bit more artistic rather than just a podcast. This was a work of art. And so when I realized that, when that kind of clicked into me, that it's just not just me talking on the microphone, It's the sound element. It's everything else that's involved in it. There's one story that I'm telling, but there's a second and a third story. And if you listen carefully, it's like layers on an onion. That's how in depth it was going. But it didn't start like that. It started off on the surface. Then it got a little bit deeper over time.
So is it still you're entertaining yourself?
Yeah, I have to first of all entertain myself. I have to tell a story that challenges me. It doesn't necessarily have to be a story that I believe in the philosophical world view, because some of the stories that I write are outlandish, are really out there. The episode that I just did, Human Data File 365, is about these two higher beings called Ted and Nimrod, and they created the human race on their computer. And so it's really wild ideas. I don't necessarily endorse them, but I like to, but I like to challenge myself. And so if I could challenge myself, and if I could make myself even afraid or excited or even cry, then I think I've achieved something.
Well,
and I think my audience, my listeners, they'll get something back in return.
When you have a whole group of people that have a mindset that maybe truly we should have the red pill or the blue pill.
Actually, I talked about that on the last episode.
Yeah, so, you know, it's, you know, maybe not too far from, you just never know, are we some computer simulation or not? We would hope not, but it's a pretty big universe out there. So,
it is.
Yeah. So what then, you know, the question I always like to ask here and is what is the response from your audience? What does your audience get out of this? Are you getting emails back like, wow, you blew my mind, or what are you hearing from your audience?
I'm getting support from my audience. I've built somewhat of a clique of super earthlings, as I call them. Now that,
awesome.
That takes a while. Yeah, that takes a while. Feedback, when I started, it was crickets. I felt like, you know, as most people feel, like no one is responding to you, and you feel, well, what am I doing? Am I just entertaining myself? Mm-hmm. Is this all that I'm doing it for? But I started to invest. I started to invest my time with people. I started to build a following. Now I have people on Twitter and different places saying to me about the show, what they got out of it. And that's really encouraging. But it took quite some time to do that.
So how do you come up with, okay, so you just did this last episode, and this is always amazes me about creative folks like you, is that you just wrote this or had did this 20-minute thing about these two higher beings that created the human race with a computer. Where do you get that? And how do you have enough of that to do a show every 2 weeks? That in itself is, for some people, maybe a year's worth of work, and you're doing it in 2 weeks. How are you finding these new ideas?
Well, I find the new ideas by digging in deep and being honest. And that, for a lot of people, that's scary. You know, they don't want to sit alone with their thoughts, thinking about things that are almost too lofty for them to consider. It's really getting personal and looking at yourself, looking at your achievements, looking at your flaws as well as a person, and pitching yourself as the hero of your story and also as the villain. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where I get my characters. I get my characters from the dark places that I'm not fond of about myself, and also from the heroic places. And then I get my ideas from watching, from studying people, from being open-minded. It takes some humility, you know, to say, okay, I'm going to learn from even groups that I'm not particularly, I don't really like the way that they see things, but they're fascinating and they're interesting. I just finished, I watched a documentary not too long ago with the flat earthers. I'm not a flat earther, but I really enjoyed the documentary, and I felt for the people. They're an incredible group of people. And also I listened to their podcast as well, and I was getting some ideas. and also one of my relatives, or my wife's side of the family, he's a flat earther. He's a very old man. I'm from Jamaica, by the way. And so he's all his life, he thought, or he probably still thinks that the earth is flat, flat as a pancake. And when I heard this, I started thinking of an idea. I started writing it down. Rather than criticizing him and saying, oh, you old fool, how come you think that way? I just simply listened. And I started writing a story about it.
Do you have
That's
fleeting?
How I would get my ideas.
Do you have fleeting moments of genius where you think about something and you have to rush and write it down before you lose it? Because that's kind of what I have to do now, you know. And it's like, even if it's on a piece of paper, if I'm in the shower and I'm like, and I have one of those, I just jump out of the shower soaking wet because I know. Or if I got soap in my hair, I don't care, and I don't have no hair no more. I don't care. I just write it down because I know that it may not stick, you know.
Yeah, that happens to me as well. Oh, now I have a visual in my mind about you getting out of the shower.
So please don't. Yeah, that was bad.
Thank you, Todd. But I do have some, you know, ideas. If you don't grasp them right away, if you don't write them down or commit it to memory, it's gone.
And it is.
So I tend to do the old fashioned thing with a pen and notebook. I carry a pen and notebook around with me all the time, just in case I get an idea, or I may jot something down on my phone. And so, but I try to remember an idea by relating it to something else, like combining it with different ideas. That's how it helps me so that I won't lose it. I will remember it for the long haul. So yeah, that's what I do as well.
So, you know, I talked a little bit about, or asked a little bit about your audience feedback and what they're getting out of your show. Do you have any of those moments where someone like writes you an email and said, "Oh my God, I listened to this episode and it triggered something in me and made me thought about doing this or that, or maybe changing something"? Do you get those? Does the show get that deep?
Yeah, the show now it does.
It does now.
It does now. I mean, to be honest, it wasn't going anywhere before in that direction, but now people are thinking and people are saying, "Wow, you did this one called Dreams Lead." I didn't write that one, by the way. That's from another writer. But just as an example, you know, there's been a couple of episodes that's really moved people, that's touched people in a remarkable way. At least it gets people to think about the universe, to think about themselves, to think about how we could bridge the gaps between each other and, you know, bring everyone together. So, but also on top of that, I'm not sure if we're going to get there yet in our discussion, but on top of that, I do give to my audience. So if I have a person that's giving me feedback, I tend to look at where they're doing. You know, if they're an independent writer, I buy his or her book. I reach out to them on social media, see how they're doing. So that's how I always try to give back.
You know, as much as I'm a big Space Odyssey fan, and as much as I'd like to get on a starship and go to another place, you know, that reality, that's not happening. That's only happening on pen and paper now, right? I can only go there via a book. But I think, though, that there is a lot of stuff that you read in some of these books that it's about escaping what is, and the society that we have today to, you know, transform into a new society. So I think stories like yours can help us that way, and shows and really help that, make that relation, and maybe think about doing different things. So, you know, we already talked a little bit about what this is doing for your audience, but how have you grown over the last couple of years in doing this show? What's changed with you? And I've always said that I do another show, a couple of shows, and my main show that I started 15 years ago, almost 15 years ago, actually, is it 16, almost 16 years ago, sorry. I said if it quit being fun, if I wasn't enjoying it, like you said, you're enjoying your show, I'd stop doing it. I love my audience, but at the same time, there's got to be something there for me. So how's your show then after 2 years in? How are you? How's it affected you?
Yeah, after 2 years in, it's affected me just on a spiritual, on a deeper level. I feel that I understand myself more. Even though if I'm writing about a 16-year-old girl that's hooked on crack, a blonde girl that lives in California that's hooked on crack, you're thinking, well, how can that relate to me? but I could find myself within that 16-year-old blonde girl in California, and I could understand her. Or I could write about this person that's a 70-year-old migrant from China, and I could understand his plot in life and how he's developing. It's made me, I think, a more connected person, less judgmental, and more considerate of others. Again, that goes back to what I said earlier about being more honest with yourself, getting raw, getting personal. And so that's how it's affected me. The title of my podcast, or what it's called, is Poetic Earthlings. Mm-hmm. And so it's how we view each other, how we could understand each other's differences, but and love and extend compassion.
So your show, then, you just kind of clued me in here a little bit. You're covering a wide breadth of content then. So it sounds pretty wide.
Yeah, it's a wide breadth of content, but it's still focused. It's still focused in I guess supernatural activities. Mm-hmm. It's the way that the stories are written. There is a flow to it. Mm-hmm. It's not broad, and I do my best not to make it a broad spectrum of different things. There's a particular flow, a particular style within all of the stories.
You've got this great breadth of content that you're putting out. You've got a book or two there. Have you thought about doing a book?
Yeah, actually, I wrote a book called Universe Splendor, and it's an old fashioned published book.
Yeah.
So I'm still in the process of writing other books as well. I wrote a crime thriller. I wrote a science fiction novel. So but my first published book is Universe Splendor, and some of that is included in the podcast. Some of those short stories is included in the show.
I'm assuming it's on Amazon. Actually,
the last one, Human Data File 365. Mm. Not yet. No. This is before into the digital frame. So no, this is just a regular paperback book. You could buy it. It is available. I just haven't gone around to putting it on Amazon.
I gotcha. And if you don't mind me asking, then when you were doing this daily, were you working a day job too at the same time?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was doing it daily, working two jobs. And so. Yeah, every day I will say, okay, you know what? It's going to be another episode, and I'll commit to it. Even though I had 30 or 40 episodes all ready to go, and you'll think, well, I have 30 or 40 episodes. I don't need to do this every day. I have a whole batch. Mm-hmm. I still did it every day.
Right.
I still felt that it was my duty to do it every single day and put it out there.
So now that you're going every 2 weeks, I'm sure things are much better with the missus then, or your partner.
Oh, way better. way better. I mean, there's some people that could ruin their lives, and this is a big thing. They could ruin their lives if they're not careful of just being so focused on their podcast that their family, their children, their marriage suffers, everything just suffers. And sometimes, you know, they could get so caught up, and I was so caught up. I didn't even realize how much my wife was concerned. She was out, she was like freaking out, and I'm like, oh no, honey, can I get this other episode out? This is really, really important. And then also what it was doing to myself personally, not just her, I was under a lot of stress because here's the thing. I was so focused, and this is the thing of if people are listening who are first time podcasters, don't get so caught up on the stats.
Yeah.
Cause I was every day, a couple of times a day, I'll take a look at my numbers. Oh, how am I doing in with the downloads? Even got to the point of how am I doing in this particular state? I live in Ottawa, Canada. How am I doing in the state of New York? How are my numbers there? Oh, my numbers are down over there. Oh, how am I doing in Australia? Oh, I'm doing pretty good in Australia. Oh, I'm down over here. And then it was up and down with my emotions. And that could play with your psyche.
Yeah.
And so I made a decision. I said, you know, I'm not going to be so focused on that because I'm not going to be, if I get caught up in that, it's going to be a lot of stress. And also it's going to take me away from what I'm doing, from the content.
I think that's good advice. And, you know, another thing too, is when I first started doing my show, I had little ones in the house. My kids were pretty young. Yeah. And, I tried to edit a couple of episodes, and I found out that my 2 to 3 hour process of doing a show twice a week was turning to 6, 7, 8 hours. And I just made the decision from a marital standpoint, no editing. I said, I'm not going to edit, because if I edit, I'm going to be in this room for 10 hours, and that's not going to be good. But I was putting out two episodes a week. So with you having one episode now every 2 weeks, you're able to spend the time you need with the family and also spend the time you need on the editing and not have such a conflict. And I think that's I'm glad you were able to make that transition and able to do that. I think it's good advice. And I think going back to looking at the stats, yeah, I was a stats junkie too. But I don't look at my stats hardly anymore. I hardly ever look. Matter of fact, Rob Greenlee, who I do the new media show with, him and I, he said, "How's the show's doing?" I said, "Well, I don't know." I went and looked and, you know, gave him the report back, but I hadn't looked at it in, you know, a couple of months. So it's one of those things where in the early days, though, you really, you know, you're trying to get validation that you're doing well. And what it really is you'd be focused on creating great content, which it sounds like you are now. So this has been awesome. Where can people find your show? Is there a website? Oh, York, I'm not hearing you for some reason.
Hello?
Oh, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So it's poeticearthlings.com.
Easy. Poeticearthlings.com. And of course, you're everywhere podcasts are, so you can get subscribed to the show. I'm going to add it. You know, it sounds like a great show to get caught up in. You know, I've done a lot of interviews.
Thank you.
I've done a lot of interviews with a lot of different podcasters, and it always amazes me the breadth of content, why people are doing it. And again, it kind of comes full circle back a little bit that you had said in the very beginning of this interview that you're doing this show for your entertainment. And it may be for sometimes it's people saying it's for my well-being or it's for to help build my business or whatever it is. But a lot of times I just keep hearing this reoccurring theme again and again and again. And I guess it just goes to show you that we do podcasting for ourselves. Our audiences are great. But I think that it allows all of us to have a little bit of outlet. And you know, when I did a show with my mom after my dad died, we did it and it was almost like therapy, you know. And so it's, you know, so there's all kinds of ways for reason for doing a show, right? But this is awesome. Yeah. Any advice as we part out here? Maybe an email address if you want people to reach out to you, and any advice you can give podcasters?
Well, you could always get a hold of me on Twitter. It's Poetic Earthling. That's my handle, at Poetic Earthling. And I'm always available for everyone there. The writing community, hashtag writing community, is very strong. I'm posting things all the time, giving out writing advice, sometimes podcast advice for newbies. I'm still a newbie. What I could say to those people that are interested in audio dramas, I guess that's what they call it. I don't like to label things, but my advice would be is to figure out your voice and how you could tell a story, and don't be discouraged by the other huge audio drama podcasters out there, like The Truth and other audio dramas. They have their own thing. They have their own niche, their own style. You just work on what you could do. You know, you may not have the live orchestra, you know, may not have a cast of 20 people and engineers and everyone else and PR managers. You're probably just one girl on a microphone or one guy on a microphone, but you could still do it. And sometimes the lack of resources that you have is for the better, because you could become even more ingenious, more creative. So that's my advice. I started off with my iPhone in a closet. I didn't have a proper microphone. I didn't even have a computer. It was just myself in a closet with my iPhone. And then I started to improve. I started to get a little bit better. Got a pretty decent computer, got a better microphone, and I got some tools in place to make what I have sound better. And then I took all those other things, all those 400 episodes that we talked about, I'm slowly reintroducing them. So people may try to look for the 400 episodes. What I did is I've removed them. Not because I'm not proud of them. I'm proud of every single thing that I've done, but I just want to improve on those ones. So that's my advice. Basically, my advice is take whatever you have, whatever resources, even if it's meager, the resources, and make something incredible out of it.
Well, as Art Bell would say, folks, we got something absolutely stupendous coming next. We want you to hang out. Don't leave. And York, thank you for spending some time with us here on Podcast Insider. Folks, go over to PoeticEarthlings.com, subscribe to a show. And York, best of luck to you. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Todd. You take care of yourself.
All right. Well, I thank York for his interview. We appreciate him spending time with me. And I've got another interview in the can already for next week. But if you are a podcaster and you want to be on the Podcast Insider, all you got to do is send an email to Mike, Todd, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. We'll get you in the pipeline, get you interviewed. Hey, it takes 20 to 30 minutes. That's it. And you get to share your story, get exposure for your podcast. And if you don't want exposure, that's okay. It's fine. And again, you don't have to be an old podcaster. You can be a new podcaster. And we'll have a great conversation. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on the support side, Mike.
All right. Well, people would be amazed at how long Dave and Sean and I spend waiting for people to find their password. So they asked me to tell you guys that password managers are a great tool for this.
Because, I use LastPass.
Yeah, I use LastPass. There's a few other. 1Password's a good one. But the whole idea is that, you know, when you call support or you need some help with something, it really does help to know your logins to everything. You know, with podcasting, there's a lot of logins. You got your Apple login, your Google login, your Blueberry account login, your WordPress login, which is not the same. And, you got all this stuff. Make your life easier. You know, get some sort of password manager. It'd save us time, save you time. It's just a good idea.
You know, the password manager sometimes, so I get, because we've got so many different logins in Blueberry, sometimes it gets confused. It's like, do you want the one for blueberry.com or do you want the one for the WordPress site?
For us that work at Blueberry, it's totally useless within Blueberry, but that's all right. We definitely have too much going on there.
Yeah. So, hey, by the way, just, we haven't announced it yet and Mike and I are kind of working on it, but there's going to be a new support podcast where we're going to start putting up, and it's going to be a video podcast. So we're going to be actually exercising the ability to do video, which I've been doing for a long time on my personal show, but we're going to do some video podcasts. So I think the first episode, Mike, is going to be your webinar that you did yesterday for PowerPress 8.3, right?
Yeah, basically it's going to be, how to set up PowerPress or on a new WordPress website or an old one or whatever. Soup to nuts, how do you install it? How do you configure it? How do you get it submitted to Apple and the other directories? So
you're still going to go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. But yeah, it's the same video that I put up over on our Getting Started page, which, like I said, Todd and I were thinking about it. We've been putting these things up on YouTube and, why not drink a little of our own Kool-Aid and also put them up as a podcast.
So. Yeah, they're still going to be on YouTube. They're still going to be on the Getting Started page, but we're going to also put them where they can be subscribed to. And that way you guys can, if you missed a webinar or something like that, we can put it up. But we'll have a link in the show notes tonight to the Getting Started with Blueberry Hosting series that's on the Create site. And those are great videos for you to go through. A lot of them have been updated here recently because of the update 8.3. We're actually going through a lot of stuff on the website and doing updates. So if you see something that's looking a little long in the tooth, let us know. We've been hitting a lot of the pages on Create. There's hundreds of pages over there of podcast information. So show notes. What's the story there, Mike, on show notes? I didn't even read your paragraph.
Well, Dave and I have been working on research a little bit. We do that from time to time because, things change in the different apps. So we're working on what tags are used in which apps to show notes. And there's a whole bunch of different tags. There's the content encoded tag. There's the description tag. There's the summary tag. There's all these tags. And, some apps use one, some apps use another, and all that. So we're doing a little research on that. So we should have an article about that at some point available, either in Creator or even on the blog if it's good enough. But my longstanding suggestion is just put what you want in the blog post to show up everywhere. Don't give them a choice.
Yeah, it's too bad the apps don't all follow a general standard. They don't. And we've, you know, we've tried to come up with a secret decoder ring for years on what, you know, how to place stuff for certain things, for certain apps to show certain ways. Here's, you think about how you're using a podcast app. Think about as a podcaster, what you do is you go in there and you, what I know what I do is I go to the show that I'm subscribed to and I go to the episode I want to listen to and I hit play. And then I put my phone in my pocket or on the table. No, I really don't look at it. If I want to go to more details, I come over to the website and look at things. So that's kind of how we work it. So you said at the beginning of the show, Mike, you said you need a vacation, but some of our team members are starting to take vacations.
Right. That's what I was just going to get at, you know, like, you know, Dave's in the process of moving. So he's going to take some time off. You know, I'm going to be taking some time off. Sean, everybody, you know, in the support team. So
they're cycling through vacation time, right?
Yeah. And the thing is that may slow us down just a little, but we try to cover. So don't worry. We will get to your question. But if you do see some responses be a little bit slower over the next couple of months, that could be why. But we do our best to cover each other, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Over the next couple of months, I give you guys too much vacation time over the next couple of months.
Well, I mean, randomly over the next couple of months.
Yeah, and it's summer here, and we got to enjoy the weather because winter is coming.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's gonna about wrap us up for today, Mike. We've got through in decent time today. So
yeah. We have a full show today with your interview, so that's all good.
Yeah, so I hope everyone had a good time with us. And again, we want to cover topics you want us to cover. So if there's something we haven't covered that you think we should, drop us a line. Again, it's real easy. Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. If you want to be on a Podcast Insider, let us know. We'll get you a link to get scheduled. Do these interviews. I at least have two spots a day that I've reserved for interviews and consultations to podcasters. That's another thing too. If you want to get a podcaster consult, I do 5 of those a week for existing customers. If you want to get in and have a discussion about your show, I do a 30-minute free consultation for any Blueberry podcaster. So I know, Mike, you do some of those things from time to time too when you have time.
Certainly, yeah. Like I said, if you want a quick tech checkup, just hit me up and we'll take a look at everything, make sure it looks good.
But we want to thank you for listening here to the Podcast Insider. We're going to let you go. Everyone, thanks for being part of our family here at Blueberry. And have a safe week and happy podcasting.
Catch you later.